Super. Well, thank you very much indeed, Mrs. Wagner, for allowing me to come and talk to you about your memories in the tourist trade. Can you just say for the tape your full name and your date of birth, please?
Elsie Margaret Wagner, 28th of November, 1915.
Thanks. I believe that your first job after you left school was going into service.
That's right. Just households, you know, different places like that. Mm. Maybe, perhaps just for half a day, but that started me off.
And how old would you have been at the time?
15. Mm. But I was always interested in housework. Some people aren't, some girls aren't. But I always was, of course, and I adapted myself to it very well. So it was all right. Mm.
So you found it quite an easy transition?
Yes, to me. Yes, it was. I preferred it to going into the... Lots of the girls went to the factory. Well, I didn't like the noise in there anyway, so I was better on my own doing the housework like that, yes. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
And was that a house in Douglas you were serving? Or?
No, lots of Peel ones, yes. Lots of Peel ones, yes. But very nice. And then you'd go on occasional summertime job to wash dishes or something over on the promenade house in Peel, because in those days they were full of people. Of course, they're not today. They're all gone. But that was very nice too. You made lots of friends. And there were always these old-fashioned concert parties at the end of the promenade where the party would be on a lorry and used to go over there. And, of course, you'd rush and get your work done to get over there for that at night and confetti carnivals. And got lots to look back on. Yes, I have, really. Lots of interesting things.
Who would you be doing dishwashing and helping out in the summer for?
On the promenade, there was two cousins, Miss Widdowson and Keeling was one there. And Mrs. Palmer, I went to Mrs. Palmer too, you know.
Would you have gone to the Waldick at all, ever?
No, I didn't go that far, no. No, just those two, really. Yeah, but I did that for. And then I wasn't doing anything for a while, of course, only at home. And then out of the blue one day, Mrs. Rigby came to see me, where she was handicapped a bit with not having anybody to help, and it was on the last minutes. And would I go and... I didn't think I could do it in a big place like that, but I went down and everything seemed to go well the first week, because in those days, apart from having the breakfasts, you made packed lunch for the fellows who was going riding out the TTs, then the others were in for lunch. Probably some would come in the afternoon tea, or they want a tray of tea to go on the beach, and then you have the dinner to get ready. So it was all go, you know, but... It didn't look on as hard work, really. It was just your job, you see. You just did it. That's it was fun.
How did Mrs. Rigby know your family to get in touch with you?
Well, she didn't, but she had a nephew who had a little shop in Christian Street near where I was living. And she said to go down and ask me, because he knew I'd been used to doing that type of thing. But they were a very nice family, and very kind to me too. They were really helped in every way. So I settled in well, and then... You grew from there, but when you look back today, it isn't really a hardship to have a hotel today, because apart from anything else, half of the money do bed and breakfast. You had to struggle out. But we started off with a breakfast, and even if people were leaving and going for a boat, they had a full breakfast before they left the hotel. And then, as I say, there was a cooked lunch. And you made, everything was made, nothing bought, everything was made. Come in for tea, they'd be having homemade scones, Victoria, sponges, sandwiches, and then the night. And then there was the rush, of course, to get all the dishes washed, to get to the pictures or the show. But, we did it all right, yes, we did it all right.
But the staff managed to have a social life.
Oh, yes, very good. And even when we come in from the pictures or the show at night, you'd hear the piano going up in the lounge. So we used to sit on the stairs going down to the basement and have a good sing-song there and really go to bed then half dead, get up early next morning, carry on. Yes,
time would you go to bed and get up in the season?
Well, you had to be up at 6 o'clock, you see, to get everything going for the breakfast and early breakfast and all. And, goodness knows, it might be 11 o'clock or half past 11 before you'd go to bed at night. But, I don't know, you seemed to fit. I made lots of nice friends, you see, and kept them. But even them, talking about... meals, the Dublin boat, the Irish boat used to come in those days because there weren't the planes flying, and it could be 10 o'clock or half past, but they always got a hot meal coming in then. Could you imagine it today? Because I can't. No. No wonder they came back year after year and brought their friends and sent their friends. was never without guests, never.
So your job was it a job of cooking?
The cooking, yes. Yes.
And who would be working with you to help with that?
Well, there were two more down, because there was always one that had to wash dishes, the pots and things too easy, because there was no dishwasher. And then the potatoes, of course, the machine was there to do those. But all the vegetables were all prepared, they were all fresh ones. They'd come in from the farm on a Friday night and they'd have cauliflowers and fresh chickens. And even we used to sit at night watching, listen to the radio, topping and tailing gooseberries, because everything was done by hand. Black currants, yes. Oh no, I really enjoyed my life there, yes. And of course, they say, we're a happy crowd down there. And Ronnie and Mary, you see, if you imagine, you see, they were very nice too. So we had lots of laughs, which kept us going, I think.
Yes. You'd have the radio on, would you, to make the time fly by it, quicker?
Well, we'd put it on, but half the time we'd listen to much talking going on. Yes, but it was really nice. I liked it.
I believe you worked for Ronnie's mother and father?
Yes, I started with them, yes. But unfortunately, his mother died on holiday, you see. And the father, you know, said as long as I was with him, he'd carry on a bit, so I did.
And how did the hotel change? Did Ronnie and Mary do things differently?
Well, of course, there's regulations that come in where you had to have such a thing, you know, and these fire doors. And they altered the still room upstairs where they got different things in. But there was no dishwasher for a long time. You see, they weren't in. They weren't in those days. No, everything was done by hand. But, they did lots of alterations and improvements, definitely, yes.
How did working for the Rigbys compare with the other people that you'd worked for over the years? Did they do things in a different way, or were they particularly good? Or
well, who are the ones I was with before? You see, they more or less, when they left you to do the job, they knew exactly what you would do and which days to do this and that and the other. So you just carried on. But yes, it was a different life altogether. But I should think the happiest few years I had in domestic service, certainly. Yes, it was. Yes.
I believe you used to, at one point you lived in England for quite some years. And you would come over every summer.
Yes, yes.
Can you tell me when you'd come and what it would be like as you came over and how you'd feel and what you'd be thinking about, you know, when you came on the boat?
I used to come about, of course you had to come about May, you see, and stay right through to September. But, I used to look forward to it because to me too, it was coming home. You see, there's no place like home. And I had lots of friends, of course, here and family and one thing and another, so the time soon went. It did really, yes, yes. I had no heartaches about going back, but on the other hand, it was very nice to come again, look forward to coming again. Yes. Anyway, I'm enjoying my retirement now.
And did you have children at that time?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So how did you cope with the childcare?
Well, my sister-in-law, my husband's sister, she was away and she wasn't married. So, of course, it was a novelty to her to look after them too. Yes, oh yes. Yeah.
And would your summer wages be really important to help keep the family going? Or was it just something you liked to do?
Well, it helped. I didn't have to have it to keep the family going, but it helped to get extras and pleasure things and nice things, you see, for them. All like that. Because when I started and Alan and Robert were young, I used to be sure every summer you went over to Lay's and got all their school uniform. And you think, oh, that's out of my mind now. I've got everything now. You see, that paid for that and that was that. You see, like that. So things like that. Yes.
How did the pay that you were able to get at the Savoy compare with what you might have been able to earn, say, obviously when you worked as a school kitchen person?
Oh, much better. Oh, much better. Mm. And at the end of the summer, you see, if you stayed summer too, you got a bonus. But that was an incentive for some of the others to stay, because they would come from England and Ireland. So they knew if they stayed, they would have a bit more at the end of the summer. Yes, oh yes. And of course, you always ate the same as the visitors. There was no such thing as in a corner, just pushed up for anything. Oh yes, all the meals were the same. And not everybody was doing that, you see. So yes, they stayed, yes. I've heard, only this last year I had a phone call, and it was from the son of one of my friends that we used to work, and she died. You see, he made sure I knew, you see, because he knew we kept in touch. I always kept in touch with the one. Mm. Yeah, so, yes. Oh yes, happy days. I've got a lot to look back on, which is more than I can say today, you see. Because Ronnie used to like fishing. He used to like to come to Peel. And it was a standing joke. I'd be sitting on the back of the motorbike with the fishing tackle. Oh, when you come to think of it now, they think you'd never do that, but I did. Yes, I was coming home for a run, you see, while he was out fishing. Yes. Now, what else can I tell you?
What would your working day be like? Can you tell me what it would be like in a busy day and what sort of things you'd be doing?
Well, of course, to start off, it was a 7-day week. There was no times off and half days. No, up in the morning is the full breakfast, you see. There's porridge to make and bacon and tomato, eggs, whatever they were having. And then after that, you'd be thinking about lunchtime. It was vegetables again, and there was either fish or meat salad and hot pudding. And as I say, some people, when I first went down, they'd come in, I don't know if they could eat it, but they were coming in for afternoon tea. They'd have sandwiches and scone cakes and things. And then, and then at night, it was a full dinner, 7 o'clock. There was soup and grapefruits and all, and then roasts and puddings. And it was a long day, but as I say, you weren't expecting to get time off. If you wanted to say to one of the girls, now if you want to go over town for an hour, run out now. But I didn't. I never wanted to go out. I thought, no, I'm quite happy here getting it ready. And then everybody was happy, and as long as you made the nice things. And as I say, everything was homemade, you see. There was no such things as frozen stuff, or not even frozen veg.
What were the things that would particularly be your department in the kitchen, or dishes that you were especially good at?
Well, I did the all, you see. Put the meats in the oven, you did the meats. And but I used to make... lots of pastries. They liked the pastries, and they also liked the individual little puddings, you know, the little steam puddings. Well, I made any sweet, you see, doesn't matter what it would be, and there'd be raspberry and cream slices, you know, with puff pastry. Well, I still do a lot of baking, you never believe it, but I'm always baking for charities and anything that's on. And in fact, I'm baking every time I've got a free day, and I think push it in the freezer. I've made cakes for the boys for their tea tonight, you see, you know, like that. So, no bother to me to make them.
And did you have the machines to help you mix?
Just a mixing machine, that was all. And, of course, there was a wonderful, like the Barclay slices up there. Because you had to slice all the bacon in those days. You see, you got the big things like this, and so many people in slice all the bacon. Yes. But we used to cook big roasts of, cook the hams to boil and big lump, roast like this. Lovely taste of them though. Yes, but the vegetable fella used to come every weekend and get potatoes and stuff like that. And then the machine was in the backyard to do the potatoes.
Would you be doing the ordering for the meals? Ordering the potatoes and the meat?
The butcher used to, he had a regular order, the potato, but he just come in to put some of the bags in all the time. But the butcher used to come down, he was very good. He'd come down and say, what are you short this week? And he'd say, what this time? We better have 2 or 3 roasts of beef. And this other. Then later on the week he might be having liver and brace and steak. So he'd come down with all that, you see, and everything. Yes, he did really. Yes.
And yes. Who'd be planning the menu? Would that be yourself or Mrs. Rigby, or would you do it together?
We did together, more or less. Mrs. Rigby, the elderly, the older Mrs. Rigby, she did them all at first. But then after that, Ronnie would type a set one, whatever, for a fortnight. So people staying a fortnight didn't have the same thing, which was a very good idea. They weren't saying, we're getting this again, sort of thing. You know, you'd work it out. The fortnight would be just a little bit different. But it was the race weeks in those days were very hectic, because apart from having 84 people staying in, they'd have friends over. Oh, could they have dinner tonight? You could have another 12 for dinner, you see. So you'd all that as well. But we always had plenty of stuff, you see. But, no bother. no bother.
And where would you be spending most of your time in the kitchen?
Oh, yes.
Can you see that room in your mind's eye?
Yes, I can.
Can you tell me what you'd see as you look round and where you'd be?
All along one wall was all gas cookers, and thank goodness whoever put them in had the incentive to raise them up, so you weren't going down to get roast and tins, they were all here. And underneath was all empty, so we could put tins down or to store. But we used to go right along, and then there was a kind of a grill that made toast. And it's a big window with the had the slicing machine on and the mixing machine. And of course, all cupboards around the other side. And there was a big walk-in fridge. It was lovely. You could go in and, any plenty of room like that. And and it was very airy, very airy. It wasn't down in the basement. It was when you go up to Castle Mona, it was just like below the pavement there. But of course, it was getting the breeze, plenty of breezes coming in. And I slept, there were two bedrooms next to that, and I slept in one of those. It was easy to get up in the morning without disturbing people upstairs. You could get in, yes. But yes, it was very well organised, very, very organised place. It was really, yes.
You didn't mind sleeping too near the kitchen?
No.
It didn't remind you of work?
No. No, you could shut the door, you see, then, and that was it. Yeah, that was always warm because there was a big boiler house right at the end, you see, no matter how cold anything you were, go and sit in there even and have a little chat. Yes.
And who'd be in that kitchen with you when you first started?
Well, there were two others, but they usually came from England, you see, they were like that. There was one woman, though, from Santon, she was there a while. There was another from Pulrose, she was there a while. But the other one was usually somebody from across that was just helping out. Mm.
And would they be changing quite often, year to year? Or would they be regular?
No, some of the locals would stay. There was one in the still room upstairs. She was there a long time. She was a local. And there were two chambermaids to finish up, and they were there a few years, but they weren't there like when I was there. But they'd stayed a little while, mother and daughter, actually. But first of all, there was lots of staff come from Scotland. Yes, a chambermaid and waitress, and there's a waitress from Liverpool, and then you'd get some of the domestic ones coming over from Ireland. Yes, we had them. Because every so I say you had to have extra staff because everything had to be done by hand.
And over the years, did the places that the staff came from change? Because I believe at one point Mr. and Mrs. Rigby decided to bring staff in from abroad.
Oh, yes, they did. From Portugal.
How did you find that? Was that difficult at first? Or?
Well, not to me because they weren't with me. They were all upstairs. They were all waiters and up there, upstairs and still room, like up in the thing up there and the bar. No, that didn't affect me at all. There were none down with me in the kitchen like that, no. In fact, there's one fella, he's living over here now. He's been over here for years, working, married and all, yes. Brought his wife over from there. Hmm.
What's his name, do you remember?
Oh, Lord, no. I don't know, is he in the stack, isn't he? Where is he? Oh, dear, he was in the palace for long enough. God, I can't think of his name, isn't it? Office gone. And I see him sometimes in town. And his wife was 1 year a chambermaid there. She was working on the bedrooms. But they live in Douglas somewhere now, I can tell where. Haven't seen them for a long time now, so you lose touch. But it's funny I can't remember his name because I know as well as anything. But quite a few came over then. Mm.
And just thinking again of how things changed over the years, did Mr. and Mrs. Rigby modernise the kitchen from their mother's day, or was it good and well laid?
It was well laid out, and the stoves were still there when I left, but I think they've changed since that. But they were good, you know, they were very good, yes. A big to-do at the end of the year, stripping them all down and cleaning them all up and oiling them, sort of thing, ready to lay them for the winter.
At
the end of the year, yes, everything had to be, all the machinery and all was stripped down and it was all oiled, you know, Vaseline and all. And all the tins, they were all scrubbed and all wrapped in papers. And the stoves, as I say, all stripped out and all the shelves oiled in there. And everything was absolutely clean, like a spring clean at the end of the summer. And of course it left no smell then, no matter when you went in, you never thought, oh dear, this has been a fatty kitchen or something. No, nothing like that. The floor was tiled too, you see, that was all tiled and was all scrubbed out. And, oh yes, it was a nice kitchen to work in, a nice and airy. Yeah, no bother at all.
How did it compare with the kitchen in your mother's house, which would have been
a small one. But then she only took about 16 people, you see. But there again, there were families and they'd come year after year, you know, and as I say, say this day when they were going away, well, we hope to see you next year, and they did, yes. So, I mean, you get your reputation from that, really. from how you treat people, and there's more of a personal touch years ago than there is today. Yes, there definitely was. Yes, you greeted the people nearly by name when you see them coming each year because you knew them so well. Yeah. And had a funny incident when I was down there too. It was there was a TT.
In your mother's?
No, this was down the Savoy. And the Norton teams, not the great Nortons then. Well, some of the men from the Nortons, the mechanics, and all stayed at the Savoy. They were there, coming every year. And evidently, whatever the more the bikes were like, they needed the oil a bit warmer to get them going right. So here was me, down the Savoy with in the oven, the big cans of oil, and had to be so many degrees, and they'd come running down and take two of those and go off, and I'd be sticking. Talking about making cakes, I was warm in oil. So I said I was associated with the TT. They used to give me a little present and then for some of it doing it, just for joke kind of thing. But, yes, they're all in their white overalls coming rushing down there. And
that would be the early days of the TT.
Yes, oh yes. But,
just shut that door because
the fridge on it. Stick that rubber from the bottom. That's it. Yes.
Yeah. So the regulars from the Norton team, would they come, or was that just the one year?
No, they were there. Because funnily enough, there were two brothers and their father, and the name was Norton, but they weren't connected to the thing. It just happened to be the name. But, yes, they were coming for years. In fact, one of the fellas came back with his family. They were still coming for holidays year after year. Yes. Yes.
So you must have seen the island's tourist trade before and after the war.
Oh, yes. Mm. Well, it was very hectic before the war, too. It wasn't very good. And even after the war, when we started, I mean, there was no scarcity of people. Beaches would be crowded and all of that. But it has deteriorated, definitely. They're not the same.
What happened to your mother's business during the war? Because she...
No, that was after the war, 1945.
Ah, so she mother only took it on.
Yes,
after the war.
After war. Mm.
Oh, I see.
Yes. And unfortunately she died. Otherwise, she might have been, well, I said she wouldn't be still there, but I might be. But anyway, it's one of those things, you can't help it, can you? No.
And so did she have to sell, did your family have to sell?
Well, that's right. Well, it wasn't their house, it belonged to her. It actually belonged to the R.C. Kane, you know, R.C. Kane, the draper. Well, Mr. Kane, he owned it. But, well, we had to come out, you see, then. And life changed, but still, it didn't change for the worse at all, by any means, because I met the nice family and that was it. Mm. Yes.
You must have seen some real characters at the Savoy over the years.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, it's funny, as it were.
Can you tell me about some of the interesting people you might have met and things they got up to?
I don't know my memory go back so well as that now. No.
Was there a lot of separation between the world of the kitchen and the upstairs?
Oh, no.
No,
no, no, no, you weren't below stairs like they were years ago. Oh, no, you could... we used to go up and sit in the pantries, we called it, and then you'd see them and speak to them as they were going in and out for the suppers or roundabout like that. Oh, no, you could... They're quite, quite a lot of nice people like that in different places where they came from. Mm. But apart from that, I mean, you didn't have anything more to do with them except they're friendly, very friendly. Yes. But there was a great to do when they had the 50 years, it was lovely.
Can you tell me what that was like?
It was wonderful. They'd invited, apart from their friends and things like that, and the people who'd worked, but all the tradesmen who'd worked over the years, helping with the electricians and the plumbers and all, they were all there, the vegetable man, you know, they were all invited. It was a wonderful night, it was really. We had a wonderful time. Put on a great big spread too, you know. Big cakes. Yes, it's... Not everybody thinks about their staff though, do they? No.
No, how did the Savoy, I mean, you must have talked to staff from other hotels sometimes. How did that compare with the Savoy from what the things they were saying?
Well, some of them were grumbling, you see. Or some of them want time off. They don't get time off. You've got to expect to work, you see. But and, of course, they weren't getting the bonus and they weren't getting the wages and they were always saying about this, you see. not treated so well, but they had a good reputation for looking after their staff, Mrs. Rigby. And he also had a brother who ran the house, and his brother's wife ran another house, and of course they were all good.
Kenilworth.
Yes, and Manningham up around the corner, there were three together. Well, actually, I think Mr. Rigby's grandfather had owned them all at one time, and that's how they were in them. Yeah. So they were always good houses too, eating good for food and good to look after the staff. Not everybody was the same, were they? No, they were not.
No. Would you ever be sent to one of the others to help out?
No, we always kept to our own.
Thinking about sort of working life in the kitchen there again, you know, what would you say would be the secret of helping it all to run smoothly?
Well, I think anything is organisation. If you know what you're going to have the next day, and if you can get a bit towards it, you do it, you see, and then you're not rushed. And you know, as long as you're well organised, and I've always been a bit of an organised person, I still am. So I think that helps a lot. Yes, and if you got the ones with you and have them not pulling big faces if you ask them to do anything, you see, that makes a difference. If you were never asked to do anything that you wouldn't do yourself as well, you see, at all, like that.
Would you prepare much in advance for the day?
Well, yes, if you're wanting pastries and all like that, if you've got that all made, it's a wonderful help. Yes, and vegetables, you see, they could do towards that. But everything was made fresh, that's one thing, yes, everything was made fresh.
Mm. What was your favourite thing about the job?
Well, I don't know. It wasn't anything I didn't like, really. I'm quite happy in a kitchen. Yes, quite happy. Mm. I've just had six family and a baby over. And, of course, they couldn't stay here, but I was cooking meals and all sorts of things for them. See, and one of my sons said, you're doing far too much. No, I said, I'm not, because I said, second nature to me.
How many people would you be cooking for in the busy days at the Savoy?
Oh, well, when we first started, it was always about 84 people in, and then there was staff. I reckon there were quite a few staff after that. And right up to the end, when I was there, there were some hectic weeks. They couldn't take as many in recent years because all these regulations come in. You see, you're taking rooms, and those fire doors put up, and those extra showers and things put in like you got to now. So it was a few less rooms, but apart from that, quite a few people. Get up in your 70s and all the rest of it, yes.
And what's the trick in the kitchen to be able to serve so many people at the same time and still have the food nice?
Well, there was a bamboree thing up in the still room, and beforehand, up went all the soup and the gravy and all the things like that, anything, etc. And the meat was all sliced and put up. So in the kitchen, all we had to do after that, when they were shouting down, a veg for four, a veg for three. It was all put in the silver dishes, you see, and sent up from there then to that. It's organised like that, very well organised. Yes, it was. There's no panic. No panic. No. Yes. It was a great life. Yes.
And would there be times when you'd have to kind of do a second sitting, or did you do it all in one?
Well, we did it all in one, except when they'd ask for these dozen other fellas, and they'd say, we'll just come in half an hour later, and they would just put them at a table got empty. No, they had two dining rooms, you see. They could sit a lot.
I didn't know that. Can you tell me what they were?
Well, the front dining room is the one at the front of the house. Well, behind that, they used to call it the smoke room, you see. And that was all laid out, tables as well, so they could sit them all down, yes. And it was all silver service, you know, tea times and everything like that, silver service. Very nice. Yes, very nice it was. Makes a difference, doesn't it?
And so how would the food go up to the kitchen? Where it would lift. Go?
There's a lift in the corner. Manual lift. Yeah, dumb weights, I think, like that. Yes, that went up. Two, three shelves on that. So you could put quite a few vegetable dishes on. Up you go, and then the next one up again, see? And it was right at the still, and we just lift them up and took them in the room. There was no plate, you know, getting cold. Straight off the lift, just into the bed, into the dining room like that.
Mm. So the still room would be near the dining room and the
yes,
smoke
it was. Yes, it was, right. Mm. Yes. Oh, yes. It's. Whoever built the hotels in those days, they did them the right way. Yes, everything was at hand.
Did you see the sort of food that people liked? Did it change over the years you're working? Say things like breakfast cereals come in, or people wanted less roast or anything like that? Or?
No, no vegetarians nowadays. Just as well, I suppose, really. But no, I think they enjoyed everything they got. Because they had the choice in the morning. There was porridge, and there was cereals, and there was grapefruit, and that was it. And if they didn't like, say, they didn't like bacon or sausage, if they wanted an extra egg, they'd get an extra egg, they could ask for that, you see, anything like that. They were never stinted. They could have second helpings of the meat or the veg, anything like that, yes. And they enjoyed the puddings because they were getting variety all the time, you see, yes. So
yeah. With things like eggs, how many eggs would you be doing in the morning?
Well, you wouldn't do one for everybody. You'd hold back a little bit, and then, you see, if anybody wanted more, if some didn't come down, or like they are, you wouldn't. And then the staff would have them, oops, life, then you'd eat them. But you didn't do the full complement of it like that, because you can't do much with eggs, you see, really, no. But, no, you kept going.
Tricks would you have if you're running a bit short of something? How would you balance it all?
Well, that's one thing, they never ran short of anything. Everything was well in advance, more than enough of everything. No, you were never short of anything. No. Because you were getting the bacon in, as I say, the big sides, and cutting that all down and everything. No, never short of anything.
And would you use leftovers to make sort of hot pots and things, or were they not keen on that?
No, didn't have that, no. If there's any potatoes over, I was making potato cakes for the staff for our lunch time at break. Yes, anything like that, and Ronnie liked those too. But no, there was never anything reheated for them, anything hashed up for them. No, they always got the fresh thing. Mm. Yes.
So it was well run.
Oh, yes.
Mm. And would the Rigbys eat the same food as the visitors?
Yes. We all had the same, yes. Mm. It was just all the staff too, you know, sit down and have their meal. I don't like it. Goblets when it was time to go to the pictures sometimes, but never mind again. Yes. But there was, they see, it's something to look forward to, and there's nothing now at the end of the day down there. Where would you go? It's only nightclubs, isn't it? Well, if you're not interested in that kind of thing, you don't want it, and I was never interested in that. But I enjoyed the live shows, and we did see some good ones, you see, and
would the staff be going out in a gang, or would they be going out?
Well, there had to be a waitress and a chambermaid on every night, because sometimes late people came at the boat, and the waitress were there if they wanted a sandwich or a cup of coffee and all at night. So there had to be two on, so the other ones would pair up and maybe go off. The men would be the same, because lots of waiters and men there. They'd go off on their own, but no, they had to be always, but the kitchen's closed. We never did anything for supper. Everything was taken. If they wanted a ham sandwich or a tongue sandwich, whatever they wanted, the girls had to come down and get it out of the fridge and do the supper. We weren't, because they were getting an hour so off in the afternoons, you see. But we didn't in the kitchen, so we were finished when the dinner was finished.
And what time would that be when you finished for the day?
Well, the dinner was six o'clock dinner. And for the time you got the dishes washed in those times, you were lucky for half past seven, you see. So then it was a case of rush up and get washed and changed to get out for the pictures at 8 o'clock for the show. Yes.
And then the night staff, if someone wanted a sandwich, would it be made in the kitchen?
Oh, yes, they'd make it there.
But they'd make it in the still room?
No, they'd have to make it in the kitchen because all the bread and everything's down there, but they'd have to come down and get the meat out of the fridge and do it themselves. Give us the break. Yes.
Do you remember any particularly dreadful days when everything happened, or there was accidents or problems?
Well, we didn't have any accident in the kitchen, but I remember one time when there was a high tide and the water came in from the basement running up the hall, and of course it was about 10 to 1 when the lunch was 1 o'clock. But it was all right, we got through it. Mr. Rigby was there then, Ronnie's father and all of that, and we just shut the kitchen door and carried on serving the veg upstairs and let them get on with that. Out there, it was just salt water, you know, coming in. And there was another time, it was an old-fashioned boiler they had then, you know, unless you throw everything in sort of thing. And you had to go and stoke it up and pull it out to get the water hot for the dishes. And there again, you see, it was about 5 to 1. I thought, well, I wonder if that boiler all right, you see. And I went out and opened the front, and some of the girls had come down with the waste paper baskets, and they'd evidently thrown in a toothpaste thing with it. It exploded. And I was covered from head to foot in soot, all dressed in white. Yes. So it was a case of, oh, in the bedroom, quick, get my thing off, wash my hands and wash my face, and go and put the veg on the lift to get it up, and then go and get a bath. But we had laughs over it, you see. We used to laugh over all these things, which put them over nicely. Oh, yes, we had little incidents like that, you know. It was funny ones, yes.
Were there times when you used to think, oh, we'll never get this meal out?
No. Get organised, get everything on time. No, we're never late. No, never late. Always ready. Yeah.
Mr. Rigby said you'd be able to tell me about one time when the sewers had a problem.
Oh, that was out in the backyard. Oh, they dug the lane about 90 times. And, of course, the potato machine was out there, so we had to go in next door. Had to go in next door and use their potato machine. And the men were there. Oh, my God. Honestly, it was terrible. But I don't know how this is slow when they're doing anything.
So what happened? Did the sewers back up?
It must have done in that lane. And of course the council was over and how many suited men with collars and ties were over with their papers and all the rest of it. I don't know, did they ever really solve it, but they dug all the yard up and everything and had to put it back right after that again. But, we had some funny incidents like that, you know. But we used to just make a joke about it and you carry on. Because Ronnie is quite humorous too, he likes a joke. So we had lots of fun together, yes.
Were there any times when you'd have sort of dreadful things, like your ovens would break down and things like that?
No, well, there'd been gas, it never did. I suppose there'd be power cut with electric, but we never had anything with the ovens, no. I don't know. They had the still room, they had all the still room too. That was another thing they insisted on. I don't know why, all these. The hygiene today, when you come to think about how you lived, I know it's got to be hygienic today, but sometimes I think they overdo it.
Did you have inspectors coming to the kitchen?
Well, at the beginning of the season, they used to come to see, more or less, to see whether the bedroom's all right, more than anything. And, you've got to have so many metres in here, of this, that and the other. Oh, you can't have a double room in there, there'll have to be a single, because for the air. And the people were only going up for 2 minutes, even going, but they'd all let carry on. I think I was making the jobs for the boys, I think, after the war. You'd get somebody come round the kitchen, yes, but they never probed in anything. As long as they knew everything was nice and clean and you were going on all right like that, they never used to criticise.
So, like the hygiene inspectors you have now, didn't have that?
Oh, no, not like they are now, no. They'd come round it, but not like they are now, oh, no. No. I suppose some places they got to go now because they aren't very nice, are they?
Did you ever hear of hotels that were running a bad kitchen, had a bad name?
There was one or two up the drive from us, and they were closed. They were compelled to close, so things couldn't have been right there. I think there were two at one time. So unless they tied the place up, I suppose, and got going right. And then, you see, the people used to complain to, the visitors complain about the food. Lots of it was just go and complain about the food. Well, that's what they come for. It's just to get a nice meal prepared for them and not have to bother and a nice place to sit and sleep, you see. So.
Did you used to have finicky visitors that would complain about the food?
No. If they were, say, if you had an operation or anything, they couldn't eat a certain thing, you'd maybe do some steamed fish or something for them like that. You know, you'd do your best for everybody. Yes. Oh, yes.
You must have had to be able to be everywhere at once.
Yeah, well, you didn't move out of the kitchen, as I say, which was one consolation. Everything you did was down there. So it wasn't so hard to get at and do things, no. Or you get somebody that wanted an omelette in the middle of something, you know, like that. But you'd throw it up. Yes, you'd make it. Yes. Even if they had to wait a second while you were doing it, like dinner time, they didn't mind. No, they didn't mind. And... some of them were quite good, really, yes.
Did you ever have the staff coming down, tearing the hair?
No, well, I had nothing to do with the ones upstairs, thank goodness. They were up there, and there were always complaints about somebody that left something, the magazines and the dirty, the wet things would be on the floor, the towels and all. But that's their job. They only put in the day in, weren't they? No matter what you do, you're better for the hours and the day, so you might as well do it doing that as anything else. That's how I look at it anyway. Yeah. Well, I could get home. I used to come home once a week. I'm home and calling home to Peel just for a run on the bus. Well, I could get the bus and get the last one back, you see, so a little break too. Do that. Yeah.
Did you know cooks in the other hotels, would there be many people doing the regime like you in a coming just for the summer, or would that be unusual?
No, I suppose there would be some in for the summer, because most of them close to the end, like they do, you know. Well, up goes the, there's some fun, up goes the paper, brown paper on the windows, keep the sun and the thing coming in to fade the things all the winter. It was a great thing. I don't think they do it now, because most of them live there. But, oh yes, we used to laugh, oh, need to come to the brown paper. Every window had a brown paper on. And then we left there till you go down to spring clean, and when you go down to spring clean off, you'd come all the papers. Mm. Yes, it does. But the Savoy, even when Ronnie and Mary went to live in the bungalow there, and now, see, they bought that and did it up before they went up, of course. But when they were going up the end of the summer, every room in the Savoy was spring cleaned. All the paintwork washed. Every bulb in the shade would come down, get washed, put all on the bed, all covered in newspapers. So when you went back to spring clean, you're more or less starting on a cleanish house, which just wanted a run through and everything put back. But other places, you see, they put the paper up, the next day they'd be going on their holidays. Well, what would it be like? Oh, no. I couldn't stand that at all.
How did you used to feel at the end of the season when you'd done your last job and you look, would you turn and look at the kitchen?
Well, that's it for another year, yes. But it's funny, when you'd come home then, you'd be waking very early in the morning, and all this, the habit. Because I'm very good to get up in the morning, I must admit, I always was. And no bother for me to wake and jump up. But when you come home, you think to yourself, oh goodness, I could have another hour in bed. You see, you wake up. But you adapt yourself again after a while. It's very nice.
Was it strange seeing the children again?
Oh, yes. It was good. It was good. It was, really. Yeah. I might not have come back, only Mrs. Rigby had died, because I'd just gone away then, you see.
Mrs. Rigby Senior.
Yes. And then, you see, I got the letter to tell me. Of course, I got a telegram first, and then I got a letter. And it was Ronnie's sister who wrote to me. And she said that the dad couldn't face going back to the Savoy, but if I'd come with him, he might do it. So I came, you see, and then I was coming back again, because I thought myself, well, perhaps he likes me to be there. And then I kept going, even when he retired from it. Mm.
So you'd have quite a good, close relationship with the family?
Oh, really? Very close. More like a Merlick family. Well, even now, Mary and Ronnie take me up there for a couple of weekends during the winter. Yes, and just go up there and stay and get waited on. Oh, yes, we're very close like that. Yes, very close indeed, yes. And, of course, I knew Mary, too, with being from Peel, you see. So
Mary's from Peel originally?
Yes, she was in the Fernlee on the prom. That's where her family were, you see, yes. Yes, very nice. Oh, yes, there was some, well, I don't know about Douglas, there were some funny ones on Peel on the prom. There was one fellow that visited us over there, and we took lots of young men, but they didn't come in at night. He used to lock the front door at 10:30 and put the lights out. And they'd come in and get in. Oh, he was not a funny man. Yes. So, I mean, if you get old things like that, nobody comes back to you. No.
Were there any nights at the Savoy when there was sort of, you can remember, people coming in and trouble and things
happening? No, because we didn't have an awful lot of that element. I mean, although they were young people, they didn't seem to, those days didn't seem to be going the same as they are now, just out and seeing what they can pop, they can get in them and come home again. No, they were very nice. We had lots of young groups when they come for the races too, but they never any bother. No.
Was there any people on the staff who you particularly became friendly with, who you see year after year?
Well, not now, because the older ones, of course, have gone. No. I see the one from Douglas, Mary, who's in the still room. See her when I'm in town and like that. But, no. You see, there was the two from Ireland and one from Liverpool that I was friendly with for years, but, of course, they've gone now. They've died, too. Mm.
Well, thank you very much. very much indeed, Elsie. You've really painted a picture that helps it all come alive.
Yeah, well, you can work.
I could just see what it was like.
Yeah, put it together in a decent way.
I can just see your kitchen. It was like, what colour would it be?
Well, the walls now were white, of course, and the tiles were all white. But the stoves were nice green. The pens are green, just a bit of colour in those. Yes. Yes, yes. Oh, yes, it was nearly.
How many burners would you have on the stoves?
Well, there were two stoves, and then at the side, they'd put the hot plate part. Oh, it was. From that wall over to here, there was two terrific, far, far bigger than this. There must have been about 8 rings on each one.
So they'd be 6 foot wide?
Oh, yes, all along they were wide, yes. But you needed those, you see, for all your sauces and gravies and all that.
Coming off them.
Oh, it was hot down there. But then we had a fan, and then the windows were, right as I say, right on the main road. So when you opened those, you were all right. Mm. Yes, never too hot, you see. It was all right that way. Yeah.
Thank you very much indeed.
Oh, you're welcome.